What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
What do you say, big guy? You want to go for a ride in the Bobmobile?
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, June 15, 2023, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 876 of the Biden-Harris administration, 509 days into the 24th presidential election. Instagram, the Bob Seska. Twitter, Bob Seska underscore go. Spoutable, Bob Seska. Patreon, BobSeskaShow.com. And you can hear the first episode of the Trek Politics podcast at TrekPolitics.com and everywhere you get your podcasts. Okay, enough of my yakking. Let's do this. It is the Goth Ninjas, composed of Jody Hamilton. She's from the From the Bunker podcast, also the Stephanie Miller Show. Patreon.com/FromTheBunker and StephanieMiller.com. Also, David Ferguson, we sometimes call him T-Rex. And his music project has a brand new Patreon page, patreon.com/astralsummer. Link in the description. Of course. So you're back on Patreon, huh?
Back on my bullshit, yeah. Yeah, and the idea is I'm just going to do a few blog posts a week about, like, what's going on, what I'm working on, what our goals are.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And then,
great.
Like, you know, draft versions of things, like little breakdowns of what the song is.
Yeah.
And, you know, just different stuff that is like more than you can get from like just listening to a song on Spotify or Apple Music.
Yeah. Yeah. And I noticed too that you can now post video directly to Patreon, which
I've been doing it.
Yeah. When did you start doing it, Jody? Because I haven't done it yet.
When we stopped doing sketches and started recording our show on video.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
Actually, no. I started doing it on sketches, by the way.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It was like a year ago.
Oh, my God. Oh, we've got some big news right out of the chute today. So get ready. Hang on to your socks because guess what? E. Jean Carroll was just authorized by this judge to amend her defamation lawsuit to seek more damages against Donald Trump because of the CNN town hall, which is really making me rethink my opinion about that CNN town hall. Because if it hadn't been for that, Donald Trump wouldn't have been opening his gigantic pie hole on television, causing more trouble for himself. Because, of course, Donald Trump always makes things worse for Donald Trump. So a federal judge will allow E. Jean Carroll to amend her original defamation lawsuit against Donald Trump, including the comments he made at a CNN town hall. Carroll, a former magazine columnist, asked the judge for permission to amend the initial November 2019 lawsuit so she could try to seek additional punitive damages.
Punitive damages.
After Trump repeated statements a federal jury found to be defamatory. The allowance comes as Trump's legal troubles have mounted in recent days. I love that so much. Carroll's attorney, Roberta Kaplan, said, "We look forward to moving ahead expeditiously." I love that word in this context on E. Jean Carroll's remaining claims. So good luck.
God, that good CNN luck, town hall. Yeah. Has been like an ongoing toxic event, like a Deepwater Horizon spill.
Yeah,
for people, you know, like it killed CNN's ratings. It killed Chris Light's career.
Yeah,
which I thought it was Chris Licht, but apparently it's Chris Light.
whatever. Light. They need a new CEO, and I'm putting in my hat.
Yeah, I'm voting for Jody Hamilton to run CNN. Oh, my God, that's a great idea.
It has destroyed that man's career. He was the CEO of CNN for like 10 days after that shit, and then he was not
just scaramouched.
Demoted.
Yeah,
he got shit canned. Like, fired. Like, please leave.
How many scaramouches was he there?
I don't know.
There was like a year of him working behind the scenes or something, like waiting to step up, you know.
Right.
Or like,
right.
But the CNN, the Trump town hall was really just like the fucking crown jewel in his ignominy.
Yeah.
You know, like it just completely torpedoed his career under the waterline, and that's it.
Well, once again, it's illustrating the Rick Wilson rule, which is everything Trump touches dies. I'm surprised that Chris Licht was unaware of that lesson.
It, Fox News, you know, they, up until they fired Tucker Carlson, were, you know, an unstoppable ratings machine.
Yeah.
And he rode that into the White House, but, you know, his contact with them doesn't seem to hurt. Well, I mean, then there is the whole Dominion suit.
And that's changed significantly. Like, they had to actually interrupt one of Trump's rallies and say everything Donald Trump just said is untrue, and here's the factual basis behind what actually happened in the election. So they had to real-time fact-check Donald Trump during one of his rallies. But we've got a story later on, we're going to talk about later on the show, where obviously we're seeing Fox News shift to a more extreme position, and that's saying a lot when we're talking about Fox News Channel.
Yeah.
They are absolutely becoming more extreme. So I was talking about this in terms of now that the Red Hat crowd is moving away from Fox News and, in fact, attacking Fox News for being woke, which is hilarious. Now, because that audience is moving off to Newsmax and some of those other ridiculous copycat networks, Fox News, to attract those people back to their network, has to become more extreme. And I was wondering what they were going to do and kind of quizzing people.
And we found it.
Yeah, and now we finally have the answer to that question. We'll get to that in a few minutes. There's an example of that regarding
It's like
Joe
a
Biden.
Reality show hot tub full of drunk people.
Exactly.
You know, right. And like one girl is like acting super, I mean, sleazy and like whips off her top. And, you know, the other girls are like, oh, shit.
Yeah. So,
you know, now we got to take off our tops. And, you know, it just, yeah.
Right. It's mutually assured toplessness. I don't know how you would describe that. But
I got your Twin Peaks right here. I'll be here all week, folks, but it's going to feel so much longer than that.
Don't forget to tip your servers.
Try the hemlock. It's effective.
So I'm watching the clock right now, and I'm wondering what's going to happen after we finish today's show. Because last week, I posted the Thursday episode at about, I don't know, it was 6:30, somewhere around there. 7 o'clock rolls around, and Donald Trump gets indicted. And immediately, you know, I wasn't getting a lot of mentions of people saying, hey, what do you think of this indictment? How's this going to turn out, Bob? All of the mentions I was getting Thursday evening and Friday was all about how I made the indictments happen because we ended our show.
Publishing a show.
Yeah, exactly. So I somehow have this magical superpower that...
Well, as you and Dana Goldberg at the same time, she was somewhere else and she's like, hey, I mentioned it, and then all of a sudden we had broke for dinner, and then indictments fell. So, you know, the gays and the Bobs, that's it.
And so I would like to extend the credit to both of you. I think it's the three of us, maybe. Well, yeah, then again, it's happened with Buzz. It's happened with the Tuesday show.
Magical news-shaping power to drive the headlines. Yeah.
Yeah. We're like
It's funny. Some friends of mine were on the way to meet us for goth karaoke on Friday night.
Goth karaoke? Oh, my God. There's such a thing
as
goth.
Thing.
Yeah. It's my new song, actually. We'll get to that. But and one of them was like, wow, the Trump indictment is insane. And my other friend was like, what? I wasn't paying attention to the news today. He got indicted. And my other friend was like, oh, David will know. And they pull up, and I'm sitting there with the indictment printed out with a highlighter, like cackling. You know, like, and they're like, yeah, he knows.
So I'm sure you saw, I mean, the thing that I've been raving about from the indictment, and I'd love to get your reactions to this, and that is that item on page 2, where they're describing some of the documents, several of the documents that are listed in the indictments, those first 32 counts. And they describe those documents as having information regarding America's vulnerabilities to foreign military attack, and then yep. how exactly we would retaliate to a military attack. And when I was reading that, as soon as the indictment came down and the text was available, I was shocked. And I rarely get shocked these days, especially when it comes to things surrounding Donald Trump. But I saw that and I was like, holy shit, who has seen this document? Who has had access to it? Who has he showed this to? Has he sold it? Did they lose the document? I don't know. I don't know where that document is. I guess they have it.
It's strewn all over the floor of the storage room.
Yeah, exactly.
So or next to the chandelier, the toilet chandelier.
So, David, what was the most shocking aspect of the indictment to you as you were reading through with your blue highlighter?
Oh, the fact that, I mean, it's just that, like, I mean, that they were just... I mean, we knew that he's a slob. We knew that he's chaotic and disorganized. I did not know he was like ranks and ranks of banker's boxes worth of disorganized, like dumped on the floor. Like, I mean, it's so much worse than I thought is the thing. Like, you see him sitting there on that little tacky beauty pageant stage or whatever it was, like, and then Kevin McCarthy's like, well, the bathroom door locks. And it's like, yeah, from the inside, dingus.
Oh, shit.
Moron. What a stupid, like, stupid
if
guy.
If the documents decide to jump out of the box and lock the door to keep themselves safe, I suppose they're in a good place. But I just.
Oh, wait, like, and there's 33 bathrooms. So that's another problem. Like, seriously, dude, it's a fucking resort. Of course there's more than one fucking bathroom and people use them. Oh my fucking God.
I can tell you what my friend in DC told me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That she is hearing. Like, they know that, like, this case is like easy. It's not easy to prosecute or easy to, you know, but like the evidence is just like, it's, you know, who are you going to believe?
Yeah.
Trump's defense team or your lion eyes, but like Eileen Cannon, they know is the weakest link here.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and anything she rules could potentially get reversed by the 11th Circuit, but that is a time, like, it eats up time. And the thing is, like, this is like this is the appetizer. Mm-hmm. The January 6th. Remember, like, you know, Jack Smith is pursuing a 2-part prosecution.
Yeah.
And this is like the easily provable, like, prosecutions for play school, you know, like the big fat crayon one. Like, it's like, yes, they're right there in the pictures, spilled all over the floor with the confidential markings showing.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, but the other case is like, you know, these, he's got his like good people on it down in Miami, but like they're really going for the, like, the big hook in DC.
Right. And there's the possibility too that he could be additionally charged in the same case in New Jersey. Where's that noise?
I will love that.
Yeah. And that's something, that's a theory that Ryan Goodman and Andrew Weissman have thrown out there. They wrote a piece in The Atlantic about how Jack Smith could pursue additional charges in New Jersey since the indictment doesn't cover actions that took place at Bedminster. And one of the things that took place at Bedminster was Donald Trump waving around that Iran document.
Well, what he said was an Iran document. It might have been a Chick-fil-A menu. You
know? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I know it doesn't matter, but let's not give him too much credit because he is a lying sack of shit.
Oh,
he literally lie about what he had for lunch.
Oh, it's absolutely the Iran document. It's, in fact, what it is, and Hal Sparks clarified this on the show yesterday. He said it's a document that was drawn up for a retaliatory strike against Iran, a retaliatory invasion of Iran in the event that Iran would attack us. So that's what that document was all about. And the crazy thing about that document, however, is that it's fucking missing. Yeah, this is getting a lot of work out on the show today. But it's true.
But the thing is, it could just be crammed up under a seat, like next to a Big Mac wrapper on Trump Force One, for all we know, because the man is a fucking slob. He's a child who has no organizational skills, no executive function, like, in terms of prioritizing. I mean, it is amazing, and it is a mark of just, like, how fucking far you can get as a rich, straight, white asshole in this country.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because the man, I mean... Sorry, you were saying.
Well, no,
I digress.
Yeah, well, he was talking about the other night about how neatly all the boxes are stacked, as though that means anything. I guess he was trying to say that we stacked these boxes
the
so nice and neat.
Fucking fell over, dickhead.
Yeah. Well, he was blaming the FBI for that. I mean, none of what he says publicly has any bearing on his actual in-court legal defense. There's no way any of the shit that he's screaming at his various rallies and on Truth Central. Yeah, none of that stuff is going to be a valid legal defense once he's found a lawyer. He still doesn't have a lawyer, at least one that hasn't been found off the back of a phone book.
Well, so, not a good witness.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then it's only...
He's made me swallow some spit the wrong way. Is this retaliation for last week's coffee thing?
Yeah, I think so. The funny thing is, it's only a matter of time before he starts blaming Walt Nauta for all of this. There was a fake...
Oh, totally.
There was a fake troth going around yesterday. It's a fake. Don't retweet that. But there was a fake troth.
I wrote in the margins when it said, you know, suspect Waltine Nauta, and I was like, twin brother Saltine unavailable for comment.
I was expecting that from you. I was waiting for that one. But yeah, I mean, the possibility of additional federal charges in New Jersey could be like an ace up Jack Smith's sleeve. Like if Eileen Cannon starts playing grab ass in Miami.
Which she's virtually guaranteed to do.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I mean, that's just the crazy wild card in all of this. I've been comparing it to Glenn Close at the end of Fatal Attraction or Kathy Bates at the end of Misery. Just when you think the Eileen Cannon chapter of this story is over, they come back.
She comes
to life
out of the bathtub, yeah.
Yeah, she emerges from the bathwater and starts stabbing again. And so no one could have predicted that suddenly this would land back in the lap of Eileen Cannon after.
Well, there's only so many judges in West Palm Beach, so.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Jody, are you a misfit Marxist or communist?
Yes.
This is what Donald Trump was trothing about this yesterday.
That sounds like good company.
Yeah.
I know. I'm all of the above.
Especially if Groucho and Harpo Marx are in with us. Like, I'm definitely a Marx Brothersist.
Yes, right. Well, here's what he trothed in all caps. He said, really big fundraising, even greater polls since the radical left indictment hoax. You know what? It's not a hoax because it actually happened. He was really indicted. That wasn't imaginary. What went down, that document, everything that happened in court on Tuesday, these are all things that really happened. Not a hoax. This is real. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Just have to remind yourself to read it as if you're stupid. Like,
that's true, yes.
Pretend it's 2016 and you're a fucking idiot. Right. And you have to be reminded, that's why he has little tag phrases that he uses again and again and again, because like that's, you know, just in case the word gets loose in your head, he doesn't want it to, you know, it's probably, it's indictment hoax.
Right, right.
Fake news. Like, it's just always, yeah.
Yeah, he always circles back to that. It's like an 8-track loop tape or something like that.
Exactly.
It always comes back around. So this indictment hoax was initiated by the, in all caps, misfits, mutants, Marxists, and communists. And then he says, thank you, for some reason. I have no idea why he screams thank you at the end of some of these things. But yeah, let me read this again so it's all one big chunk. Really big fundraising. Well, that was always going to happen. Even greater polls. That's a big lie. Since the radical left indictment hoax was initiated by the misfits, mutants, Marxists, and communists, thank you. You're welcome. What do you say to that? I don't know.
Misfits, mutants, Marxists, and communists. Oh my.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, this sounds like really good company to me. You know?
Yeah, I know.
It also sounds like a 90-year-old. I mean, those were like the fucking beatniks, the hippies, the, you know, communists.
Long hairs.
Yeah,
long hairs.
Really is like
long hairs.
By the way, did you hear that Marjorie Taylor Greene said that Satan doesn't like women because he can't give birth, and that's a bad thing?
What?
Yeah, she was at this weird Charlie Kirk women stuff, and I'm not sure why she said that to be a bad thing.
Yeah,
what?
I don't understand.
I don't
wait,
either.
Okay,
I'm,
no. So wait.
No, she said that Satan.
I'm trying to figure out what she's
Welcome
actually
to
said.
My world. Okay,
it's making me dumber. I can feel it killing brain cells. Like as I try to like trace this reductive. Like so, wait, Satan is a
Satan is jealous of women because Satan can't give
birth. Have a baby?
Right.
Don't you think that if Satan wanted to, Satan, I mean, could conjure whatever?
Also, why is that a bad thing? It's like she said that at the conference that Charlie Kirk had for women or some shit. And she's like, Satan is jealous of this. And she said he was beautiful. And have you seen... Anyway,
that's so bizarre.
Yeah, I watched all seasons of Lucifer, and Satan is fucking fine.
Well, let me.
He's gorgeous and English, and he's oh my god. Yeah. So anyway, so it's like seriously. The problem is that Satan can't have. So are we supposed to be mad at that?
Yeah. Well, you know what the real problem is? The real problem is that there's a grown up who believes Satan is real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
and
you don't know.
Dinosaurs are still here.
No, there are like, and some, you'll meet some Christian people in the South, and I don't know if this is true all over the place, that are the most superstitious peasants.
Yeah.
It's like they're constantly seeing signs and omens, but they don't believe in psychics or witches or none of that, but like it's all there. You know, like it's just has, you know, I just, ugh.
I mean, in a figurative sense, there's evil within all of us, but the actual existence of a red man with horns and a tail and a pointy tail.
This is what I want to know, though. Does Satan start loving you when you hit menopause? Like when you pump out that last dried up little egg, Marjorie? Like, is Satan suddenly going to be your BFF? Like,
he's okay with post-menopausal
women. It was the weirdest comment. It was at the Charlie Kirk, whose face is...
Oh, he's
got
a
big head and the smallest face.
And
the biggest
gummy.
Gums. Like, his gums and his skull size are proportional, but everything else is, like, got washed in the... And
like, you draw him and he's got... His eyes are very close together and his mouth is... It's like his head is big and you draw him, as you know, Bob Seska, who is an animator.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you draw his face and it's like, that's real.
Oh, Tucker, that's not nice. I think Charlie Kirk gets his dental work done at a Spirit Halloween. That's where
I agree.
God, you guys are mean.
Jody Louise, Bob Louie.
I'm so sorry, Charlie Kirk. I apologize, asshole.
We totally apologize to the asshole that is Charlie Kirk.
I look at Charlie Kirk and I totally see the, like, misfit 5-year-old that just kept expanding but never really grew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and he just got bigger, but his features stayed the same size and his head just nobody wanted to play with Charlie.
Well, speaking of dipshits.
It smelled like peanuts.
Speaking of dipshits, here's the moronic lament of Eric Trump for the day.
Oh, my name's Eric.
He said,
you should take me seriously because I'm a total alpha male.
Oh, God. If you get in the way of the Democratic Party, if you question their power.
No, what he said was, if you get in the way of the Democratic Party.
If you question their power, if you interfere with their little fiefdom, there's a word that he just learned in his SAT prep course.
Yeah, he didn't write this.
No.
This is either Lara or like his PA, his little gay personal assistant or something. He doesn't know the word fiefdom. He thinks it's a musical instrument. You know?
Yeah.
It's like a place where people go to play tiny flutes. You know, the fiefdom.
He said, they will target you, they will come after you, and they will try and destroy your life. It is
wham, wham, wham. You took money from cancer kids, you dickhead.
That's right. Well, and it gets worse. He said, it is rape and pillage.
Really?
Oh, my God. Here we go again with the fucking butthole.
That raped.
Yeah.
Once again, what's going to happen to my asshole? Like, oh, God. kind of straight men, it's just so pathetic.
Yeah.
Go ahead. It's all projection.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all...
Yeah. Well, it's all whining for fundraising purposes is what it is. He said, they will burn down the street. I don't understand how you burn down
a street.
It's a street, by the way. It's already
done. He got tired. He's running out of steam here. You know. Right.
My street is about, you know, 5 houses wide, so
it doesn't matter.
California is probably going to burn down your street eventually anyway, Jody. I hate to tell you this.
I know. I'm moving. I'm moving to Belize at some point.
Mm.
Well, here's the rest of what he said. It doesn't matter for these people. They will take out innocent people. They will go after family. They will go after kids. Hasn't Donald Trump already started to go after Jack Smith's
the
wife?
The Bidens? Oh, yeah, the Bidens.
Yes, of course. But also Jack Smith's wife.
Yep.
He's literally endangering the life of Jack Smith's wife. It's an amazing thing.
This is so much projection. We go all the way back to, you know, the fucking right wing spying on kids that are like, you know, disabled children who appear in Democratic ads about Obamacare.
Yeah, I remember
like
that.
Peering into their kitchen windows and going, well, they have granite counters, you know, and it's.
Yeah, that wasn't, you know what? That wasn't even Obamacare. That was SCHIP.
Yep.
Right.
That was something that helps feed starving children. And
it's like, these are the people. I mean, they're the, Rush Limbaugh is the one that went after Chelsea Clinton and decided that it was open season on civilians.
Yes, exactly.
You know, on, you know, like, let's not get it twisted, Eric Trump.
Yeah.
Your side is the one that considers everyone against them to be collateral damage, whether they are 9-year-old trans kids or 98-year-old pensioners on, you know, Social Security. It's like, you guys are the ones that are like, yeah, let's throw grandma in the wood chipper. It'll help the economy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So fuck you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, as you were.
Yeah. Well, they all used to do that. I remember hearing Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh mocking Sasha and Malia, Obama, of course. Yeah, it's a long history of Republicans doing this, but they don't care. This is all about, I know you are, but what am I? That's all.
I'm just so fucking sick of our straight white guy media. Sorry, Bob. that, like, just keeps acting like it's the, we got to hear both sides. You know, there's no both fucking sides to demonizing trans kids.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They are kids.
Right.
And the people they never fucking talk to are trans people.
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw a trans person on cable news? Ever.
That's a really good question. I mean, maybe they sometimes don't announce that they're trans. I mean, there's that possibility.
Every time they talk about trans people, they never have trans people in the discussion.
That's true. Oh, right. Exactly. Yeah. That's 100% true.
It makes me insane, unless it's Caitlyn fucking Jenner.
Right.
And I'm just, this is what I'm so sick of, is this alienization of us who are perfectly normal queer people who are Americans just like y'all.
Yep.
You know, we're not fucking groomers. We're not pedophiles. You guys do that.
Oh, don't get me started on the 9-year-old in Canada.
Wait, what's that story?
Okay, so this 9-year-old girl in Canada who was competing. She's a shot putter in fourth grade. I mean, she's a little baby girl, right? So this grandfather from another school, by the way, says, well, that's a boy because she had a pixie haircut.
Well, at first he went to the ref and was like, is this a gender, like, I mean, he started out, I mean, he was like a whole, like, pageantry thing.
And then he must be a boy. And they're like, no, she's a girl. And he goes, well, she must be trans. And then he accused the mother of grooming and being a pedophile and all this shit. And it's like,
and this
really?
Poor 9-year-old girl is humiliated in front of.
And crying. And this poor girl, it's just, this is what we're going. We've exported this shit to Canada. And I'm livid about it. And because when I was 4 years old, I wore pants and sweatshirts and I had no hair because as a child, none of my dad's children ever had hair. So it took 4 years for me to have hair. Right. So it takes a long time. So I had a short haircut and I wore pants and sweatshirts. Mm-hmm. And I remember somebody telling me at a restaurant, you have a very well-behaved young man there. And I'm like, I'm a girl.
Oh, man.
So, by the way, when you're 4, you know whether you're a girl or a boy. So when a little boy says, I'm a girl, or a little girl says, I'm a boy, listen.
Yeah.
And two, I just, this poor little girl had to endure this shit.
That motherfucker has been waiting for this moment.
Of course
he's gone to every single one of his grandkids.
He's a prick.
You know, matches, you know, waiting for a kid that looked androgynous.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
He could pull this fucking stunt.
Know what? That's going to happen in Florida and other I say Florida like I'm an old Jewish lady from New York. I mean, that's what's going to happen in places like that when we, you know, next fall, these girls who might have a short haircut and might look a little butch.
Yeah.
Kids get really androgynous right before they hit puberty.
Of course.
All kids. I mean, it's like just the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got, you know, people were like, oh, what a pretty girl. And my mom would be like, that's my son. You know.
My neighbor
Although that
the
happened
street.
For like 5 minutes because I was an ugly child. I mean, really.
No, my neighbor across the street, his son, when he was like 8 or 9 years old, had super long hair. And 8 or 9 years old, you're like, don't.
And that's why, like, those preteen girls love feminine-looking boys like Justin Bieber and stuff. It's because they're attracted to people who look like them.
Well, did you see the huge controversy now? Because they had a pride event at the White House, and a trans woman took her top off. And the great irony of this, of course, is that the trans woman, they would categorize the trans woman
as a man.
As a being a man. So what's... What's your problem, Marco Rubio? Like, Marco Rubio was crapping his cage over that, you know, rending his garments over, oh, my God.
The problem is that people might be happy with themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and having a good time and enjoying their bodies. Like, oh, my God, someone might be happy somewhere. We have to do something.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, look, I mean, ultimately, what we're talking about is a Republican movement right now that's been fully occupied by the town elders from Footloose. That's essentially what we're talking about here. Eventually, they're going to go after dancing. I swear to God, that's going to be a thing.
I'm with you on that.
Just anyone who's dancing, that's evil. You got to stop dancing. Okay, well, we still have a lot more to talk about with regard to the indictments. And John Kelly had an interesting observation about Donald Trump's state of mind. We're going to talk about that, too. Plus, a couple of different editions of Trump Always Makes Things Worse for Trump. I think we're going to have a total of three. And so this one, this latest one, apart from the E. Jean Carroll one, there are a couple of others. One has to do with a settlement deal, and the other has to do with Tom Fitton. We're going to get into both of those things. Plus, Trump's visit to that Cuban restaurant in Miami. There's an interesting twist to that story. Not interesting as far as unpredictable, but interesting as far as, oh, yeah, I can totally see that. So we'll talk about that. And, plus, as we said earlier, this Fox News Chiron, this Fox News lower third, describing Biden in a particularly radical kind of way. We'll talk about that, too. Plus, Republicans have admitted that the bribery tapes of Joe Biden, they don't exist. That's a made-up story. But they don't care because it's a bubble audience. That's all they need. All they need to do is say, hey, tapes, maybe. And they, you know, the red hats go bananas. So that and a whole lot more still to come on today's show. But first, today's podcast is brought to you by the After Party on our Patreon page. Every Friday, Kimberly Johnson and I record a fourth Bob Seska Show podcast for the week. But this one's completely different from the usual Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows. The Friday After Party podcast is loaded with all the politics you want, while also including uncensored, completely obscene conversations about sex, drugs, movies, television, our personal lives, all the crap we can't get away with on the free show. And by the way, last week's After Party is available for all of our Patreon subscribers from the $1 level on up. So you can get a sample if you're already on board, at least at the $1 level. You can get a sample of last week's After Party at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. So please help support this podcast by subscribing to the After Party for just $10 per month. And bonus, you're also going to get 2 Shadow Docket shows every week included in that level of support. BobSeskaShow.com or patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. And we thank you.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bob Seska!
All-time favorites all day long!
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, this is the great Christian Nesmith, Cersei Link, and Paul Mellenson. I love this. It's covering Yes's Starship Trooper. You know what? I was listening to Cosmologica, which is the Christian Nesmith, Cersei Link album, and just basking in it earlier today. We're going to play a track from that coming up after the next break. Meantime, link in the description to download this version of Starship Trooper. Yeah, we're playing it in honor of the launch of the Trek Politics podcast with me and Mary Trump. Premiered on Wednesday of this past week. It's available at trekpolitics.com and, let's see, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google, Amazon, and some of the other podcast players. I don't think it's on all the podcast players yet, but give us time. Meantime, you can also get it at, as I said, trekpolitics.com. You can follow us on Instagram, at trekpolitics, at, on Twitter, at trekpolitics also. So both of those places. Yeah, and we've got a bunch of great guests coming up. Our first show, of course, was with the amazing Terry Metalis. We talked to him for quite a while, got into some politics, got into some amazing behind-the-scenes things from Picard Season 3. Had a lot of questions about that. But guess who's coming up next? We've got Jeri Ryan, 7 of 9, coming up next week. The week after that, we've got Captain Liam Shaw. Todd Stashwick is going to be on the show on the week of June 26th, somewhere around there. And then the great Tim Russ, Tuvok.
Yes,
from
we love
Star Trek
him.
Voyager and Picard Season 3 will be joining us in July. And lots
and
more.
Poker Face.
Oh, yes, that's right. He was in an episode of Poker Face. I got to ask
him
about
that. He was amazing in that.
Yes, he was. He was great. And it was so wonderful. It was like one of those, it was that that Leonardo DiCaprio gif for me when he showed up. I was like, oh my God, there he is. There's Tim Russ in Poker Face.
And so, he was at my house doing karaoke, so.
Oh my God. He's awesome. When I was texting with him, thanks to our friend Travis Bone from the Stephanie Miller Show making introductions, I was texting with Tim Russ yesterday. And as his text replies were coming down, I was reading them as though Tuvok were saying them. And it was like mind-blowing. And so it's just such an exciting thing to get into. And Mary, of course, working with Mary is wonderful. Even if you're not really a Star Trek fan, I think there's something for everybody in this show. So you know where to find it. Okay, so
I have something Star Trek-y to share about those guys that were, you know, the day of the arraignment in Miami, the grand jury in D.C. was interviewing the Nevada fake electors.
Yeah.
Like the two of them. And did you see those guys? I looked at them and the first thing I thought was Wolfman Jack the Third. But then I was like, they're kind of like Ferengi. You know, the way kind of scuttling away from the cameras, like, you know, dragging their little, like, their rolly bags. I was just like, oh, God. And the tacky, ugly suits and mullet. I was just like, man, they look like Nevada Republican fake electors
Well, that was actually one of the Ferengi came up in the first episode of Trek Politics, because we were talking about this Ted Cruz quote, where he said that Captain Kirk is a Republican and Captain Picard is a Democrat. Well, first of all, I'm happy to have Captain Picard as a Democrat. But that's, of course, anachronistic. We're talking about 200, 300 years in the future where the Democrats and Republicans probably don't exist anymore. And applying today's political parties to the Star Trek future is a ridiculous thing to do. And then also, bear in mind that Captain Kirk works for an organization. And this is allegedly Republican Captain Kirk. Works for an organization that can basically be described as multicultural space communism. I mean, that's essentially the United Federation of Planets. Yeah, I mean, it's a democracy, but the economic system is what's known as post-scarcity. So there is no money, there is no profit motive. And in fact, that's how the Ferengi came up, because the Ferengi are, of course, entirely motivated around capitalism and making a profit.
Mm.
Okay, so Jody, when the I know you had a very difficult day last Thursday, but
yes, I did.
Were you able to at least sit down for a second and go, they got him?
Actually, no, not until like Saturday or Sunday. Because it was like, wow, that ruined a really good day. For those of you, I'm sure you all that heard Bob's show, we had to euthanize our cat a week ago. And And then I got to meet Barney, so there was that.
Yeah, that was sweet. The guy who plays Barney the dinosaur gave you a big hug, huh?
He did. He was in another costume in front of our house, just dancing around and shooting with the guy with an iPhone. And hi, Eno. And Lonnie, it was literally like, had we not looked up at that moment in time, we wouldn't have seen him. And he gave us a smile. Obviously. And I walked outside and I said, hey guys, you just made my day better. And the guy in the costume is like a dog costume. It was cool.
Yeah.
And I told them what happened and he goes, bring it in. And he gave me the best bear hug, almost lifted me. Mm-hmm. And then I pulled back and he said, by the way, I played Barney.
Aww.
That's and awesome. It was just like, I'm like, wait, how old are you? Because I'm like, he danced around like he was 12.
Right.
Yeah. And he danced around like he was a 12-year-old, by the way. And I said, how old are you? And he goes, I'm going to be 60 in a few weeks. And yes, he is. His name is David Joyner. And he lives in the neighborhood because I have seen him in the neighborhood, but I didn't know he was Barney.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, he probably presumably was off duty most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time when he's driving in his car, he's not wearing a costume.
That would be weird if he wore the costume.
Suit.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's not Barney now, because obviously, but he was in a different outfit, and he was just like so, like, it made both Lonnie and me smile that one moment that day, which was a shitty day.
Yeah, yeah.
And God bless my cat sending him.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
Because I know she sent him. And thank everybody that, I'm sorry, listens to your show.
Oh, honey, stop. You're going to make me do it.
I know. I'm sorry. Everybody that tweeted at me and sent me emails and Facebooked and all that stuff, it meant a lot to Lonnie and me.
Yeah.
I know Bob and David, you've both been through this. And,
oh, yeah. It's the worst. It's the worst thing in the world. Yeah.
And she was just... And we still haven't taken down her little cat tree. We just...
Oh, God.
It's still there. And I mean, we took her litter.
I'm on the floor.
I'm sorry, David.
David's gone bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye, David. We took her litter boxes out and stuff. And then my niece's dog is here, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And he was looking around like, can I really go in that room where Lonnie sleeps with the cat? And it's like, yes, you can.
Oh.
And he, the first night, he was like, I smell the baby and I miss her too because they sort of got along.
Yeah.
But everybody, thank you so much. I cannot thank everybody. John Fugelsang, Stephanie, Francis and Angela, everybody. I mean, Bob, obviously, David, Kimberly.
Yeah, it's worse.
I'm sorry. I'm the chick that cries on podcasts. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
Thank you all so much. It meant so much to us, and we miss her. Because usually she'd come in during this show going, yelling at me, give me food or let me out. You know?
I remember. I remember hearing her. Yeah.
And, I mean, she was, we had her 8 years, and she moved in with us. We did not pick her. She picked us.
Well, you gave her a great life, for sure. And I'm sure she was very grateful to be with you. And
when the oncologist starts crying, you know it's bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that's the worst. And then finding the cat's things laying around, like when we had to let go of Miranda, we used to have these bananas, banana toys for her. It was like a little stuffed banana. And we would stick them in... what am I thinking of? What's the cat drug? Why am I thinking?
Catnip.
Catnip. Yes, we used to dunk it in catnip, and she used to go bananas with the banana with the catnip on it. And so I'm still finding bananas laying around like under the couch or.
Oh no, we have catnip stuff on the cat tree that neither one of us is like. And there was some little drool in the kitchen that both of us.
No, I'm not coming back.
I'm sorry, David. We would not clean it up.
I'm on the floor and I'm not coming back.
I'm sorry, David. I mean, it's...
Show's over, folks. Have a nice weekend.
David's done
I'm
with
sorry,
the show.
David. Just play some Carrie Hamilton and then he'll be done. I mean,
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to bring it down. I mean...
No, it's fine. This is We do
fine.
This sometimes on
it's
the show.
Real.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Have you checked your snail mail today?
Yes, it's on its way, and I have did you send that to us, David?
Yes, I sent you a... Well, no, I sent you a card. You'll get it.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go, David.
There we go.
No, I'm joking. We're not going to...
Goodbye, folks. Good night. Have a nice week.
I'm not going to do that to David.
That's the end of the show.
She's a special child. Has a special need. I don't have time. I can totally do this song. Oh, my God.
You know, somebody gave me a walking stick for my birthday as a joke, as a gag gift.
No, use it.
And I'm waving it at you guys right now. I'm telling you to get the fuck off out of my yard with this shit.
Oh, that reminds me.
Keep in this football. It's mine now, you little punks.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking call the police if you come on this property one more time, you fucking hoodlums.
You have to listen to yesterday's interview show with Hal Sparks. He was talking about how Joe Biden has to adopt that dark Brandon persona with the goatee and the like the pinstripe vests. And he's got to have like a walking stick where the head of it is Donald Trump's head.
Oh, and
just walks around with that. So anyway, you know what? Let's get back to Trump's indictment. Let's get back to some happy
you know, so much
happy joy.
When we talk about other things, I'd rather cry about the cat than go back to talking about the most repulsive human toad on the planet.
Well, this part,
one of these days in court, he's going to be wanting to say something so bad
that
fleshy waddle thing under his chin's going to blow up like a bullfrog.
By the way, who did he get? Who did he pay to have the best sketch artist in the world flatter him? Oh my God, that sketch of him in the courtroom. Donald Trump didn't look like that when Donald Trump was in his 20s. I mean, Donald Trump hasn't looked that good ever. I like the New York sketch artist. Who just made him look
like... Oh, he looks like the fucking devil, and his fucking attorneys have their, like, blacked-out demon eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that, what looks like a pile of cocaine sitting in front of him. That was the New York sketch artist. Mm-hmm. But the Florida sketch artist, too happy. Florida sketch artist needs to calm the fuck down.
It looks
down.
Like fucking Family Circus, dude. I mean...
Okay, so John Kelly has said that Trump is scared shitless. He said, yeah, he's scared shitless. And he said, this is the way he compensates for that. He gives people the appearance he doesn't care by doing these events and rallies and so on. For the first time in his life, it looks like he's being held accountable. Up until this point in his life, it's like, I'm not going to pay you. Take me to court. He's never been held accountable before, but now he is. In 2022, Kelly claimed Trump unfairly weaponized his presidential powers against people who made him look bad. There's an interesting detail that you're not hearing from Republicans these days, by the way, who are busily screaming, oh my God, it's a political persecution. They're going after
the worst of it. Let's talk about, you know, Jim Comey having to hand over, you know, to all his records to the IRS and shit. Like, I mean...
Yeah, well, I mean, there were at least...
You want to talk about weaponizing the fucking federal government. That was, like, the only thing that Trump did besides separate migrant families effectively, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there were two investigations of Hillary Clinton during the Trump years that are flushed down the memory hole, in effect. There was one at the State Department. There was one at the Department of Justice. I mean, there was literally... Jeff Sessions appointed a special... well, not a special prosecutor, but assigned a U.S. attorney. And he investigated Hillary Clinton for more than 2 years. And that turned up nothing. Both of those investigations turned up nothing. In fact, every investigation of Hillary Clinton has turned up nothing. So at some point...
And that's just proof.
Yeah, exactly.
That, you know, that's what drives me insane every time. One of these investigations, they're like, turned up nothing. Polls were fine. Like, nobody messed with the election. Well, that's just proof that the deep state is manipulating the numbers. And it's like... Oh,
well, you know, the other thing I think of when I think about these investigations of Hillary Clinton that turn up to be a great big nothing... is even some of the Democrats in 2016 who are like, well, I hate Trump, but you know, Hillary Clinton's kind of untrustworthy too. Yeah, but you know what? Where? When? Yeah. Find me proof. Show me evidence. Show me one bit of reporting that indicates that Hillary Clinton is any more dishonest than any random politician.
Can't tell you. How many people that year told me they couldn't vote for Hillary because they didn't like her? And I'd be like, what did she do? Why?
Yeah. Exactly.
Bingo. Yep. So Trump always makes things worse for Trump, plea deal edition. This is fascinating. Trump had an opportunity, at least according to Christopher Keiss, his ex-attorney, to settle all of this with the Department of Justice. Or at least there wasn't an offer from the Department of Justice, to be clear about this. It's not like Merrick Garland was presenting something to Donald Trump and his team. It was the reverse of that. Chris Keiss wanted to quietly approach justice to see if he could negotiate a settlement. This is according to the Washington Post. That would preclude charges, hoping Attorney General Merrick Garland and the department would want an exit ramp to avoid prosecuting a former president. Kais would hopefully take the temperature down, he told others, by promising a professional approach and the return of all documents. This is in the fall of 2022. So this was after the search at Mar-a-Lago. So Chris Kais at that point knew that there were more documents. I mean, obviously, more documents after the FBI had already been to Mar-a-Lago. But Trump was not interested after listening to other lawyers who urged a more pugilistic approach. So Kais never approached prosecutors, three people briefed on the matter said. A special counsel was appointed months later. So this is another instance where Donald Trump and this ridiculous, overblown sense of I've got to always look strong. I always have to look very, very powerful. This is where it fucks him. He cannot look weak. It's remarkable. Everything that he does, he believes if he is accommodating to anyone, then he's going to look weak. But you would think at some point Donald Trump would go, okay, on one hand, looking weak. On the other hand, escaping prison time. He chooses the one hand to not look
believe
weak.
He does not believe he can ever go to prison.
Yeah.
Absolutely doesn't. I mean, I don't know. I was wondering if they were going to do an Agnew thing with him.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like we're looking at basically a long, slow slide down a razor blade into a pool of vodka for this guy.
Wow,
you know,
yeah.
Like, it just like, because things are just going to keep piling on. There's going to be charges out of Atlanta. There's going to be more charges out of D.C. You mentioned the possibility of charges out of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Do we know why two members of his legal team resigned abruptly after the indictment was announced? What were their names?
Because they had a shitty client.
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, there's this other story that comes out this other story from Rolling Stone about how Trump's advisors want Tom Fitton to butt the hell out. Because apparently
Who the hell is Tom Fitton?
He's the guy who
heard
runs
that name twice today.
Yeah, he's the musclehead who runs Judicial Watch. And Allison Gill always trolls
him. A fucking right-wing blogger?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. Apparently, Donald Trump can't stop taking advice, this is according to Rolling Stone, from Judicial Watch president and definitely not a lawyer, Tom Fitton. And it's driving his attorneys crazy. So this could be part of the problem. You know what? I think the other two attorneys left because Donald Trump was getting a lot of advice from Boris Epstein. I think that might have been part of the problem. So Donald Trump's hiring these lawyers, and instead of taking their advice, he's taking advice from a bunch of grifters like Boris Epstein and Tom Fitton, who are only interested in Donald Trump insofar as Donald Trump raises their visibility and helps them as far as their own personal income stream, their own personal social media presence and their downloads and their views on their website and their likes and shares and whatever on social media. So according to a report from the Washington Post, who spoke to several Trump advisors familiar with the behind-the-scenes events of Trump's indictment by the Justice Department, the former president repeatedly ignored the counsel of his lawyers in favor of Tom Fitton's advice. Boy, that's working out really well for him, isn't it? Good job, Tom Fitton. Good job, Donald Trump. Keep listening to Tom Fitton. You know, I'm perfectly happy with Donald Trump ignoring the advice of his attorneys. And that's fine with me.
I wonder if he'll end up representing himself in court.
Boy, that'd be great. I was thinking like Rudy Giuliani. Like at some point, he's going to have to dig down to the bottom of that fucking cesspool, and it's going to be Rudy Giuliani sitting there.
It's despicable.
Getting ready to defend with farts Donald Trump against his first of many federal indictments. But I hope that he continues to take advice from these morons because it's only getting him into more and more trouble. At some point, you know what? You got to stash your ego. You got to shut up that internal voice that says, you know, maybe these people are loyal. Maybe they'll help me out. Or because the other thing from the other side of it, eventually Donald Trump will screw Tom Fitton. He'll screw Boris Epstein. He'll completely throw both of them under the bus at some point, as soon as he needs to.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So that's and that's the craziest thing about all of this is that these guys still haven't learned that lesson. I don't know what motivates these people. I think
Chris Christie, he's in some ways talking like a man with nothing to lose, because he's like, you know, he's like, Trump does not have the best people, y'all. The only people left are the people who are absolutely insane, zealots, or grifters.
Yeah.
And some of them you can't tell which is which, you know?
Right. Okay, I think we're at this point. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the Cuban restaurant in Miami getting stiffed. This is another thing where Donald Trump just uses people and then doesn't give them anything in return, because that, once again, it would make him look weak. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more coming up right after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Incoming transmission.
Politics. Not good at politics. Surely there are others who are better suited.
Trek Politics with Mary L. Trump and Bob Seska.
Previously.
I love getting to the end of a Star Trek episode. Doesn't matter which series. The ones that make you feel really good with the conclusion, the denouement comes along, and suddenly we're like, oh my God, I want to rewind and pump that into my veins one more time.
We should start a show that's just about this kind of stuff.
If you're going to do a show about Star Trek, Mary, I'm so there. I'll change my schedule if I need to.
Let's talk offline, as the cool kids say.
Yeah, 100%. Well, you got it. I think we've got something going here.
And it's an excuse to watch more Star Trek. Come on. Win-win.
Exactly. It's Trek Politics with Mary L. Trump and me, Bob Seska. Discussions about the socio-political and cultural themes and allegories from the Star Trek universe, along with interviews with Star Trek actors, crew, and famous fans, coming June 2023 to your favorite podcast player. And don't forget to subscribe for free and tell your friends at Trek Politics on Twitter, at Trek Politics on Instagram.
Bob Seska, plays more music.
Oh yeah, another song from Christian Nesmith and Cersei Link. So great. This is Suborbital Preflight, the lead track. It's an all-instrumental track from Cosmological. Link in the description to support Cersei Link and Christian Nesmith. It's maybe the best prog album ever recorded. And that's saying a lot. Okay, getting back into things here. By the way, bobseska.com/music to submit your work to the show. Okay. So the thing has been going around Twitter as though Donald Trump paid for a bunch of food at this Cuban restaurant and then didn't pay for it. But that's not actually the story. Donald Trump didn't buy food at this restaurant at all. So after his indictment.
You know he wouldn't. He's a racist germaphobe.
Yes, of course he is.
By the way, why is a place that serves Cuban food called Versailles?
That's a good question. It's I was wondering
Miami.
That too. Yeah.
It's weird. It's yeah. also kind of, it feels like a Jewish deli on the inside. It's the weirdest thing in the world, but it's apparently hugely famous. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a New Orleans thing where it's like too many cultures collided at once, but made a damn good sandwich in the, you know.
I think this is one of the things that John Kelly was talking about. This is the kind of thing that Donald Trump has to do. Otherwise, he's just going to sulk and conceal himself away from people. He needs to bask in adulation. He feeds off of that. So after his indictment, he went to this place, Versailles in Little Havana. And it says here, according to the Miami New Times, the iconic restaurant has long been a pit stop for politicians seeking to curry favor with Miami's Cuban voters. Trump supporters fawned over the man, regaling the soon-to-turn 77-year-old, well, now he's 77 officially, with a rousing rendition of Happy Birthday a day early and holding a group prayer, which is utterly hysterical. Because guess what? Donald Trump doesn't give a shit about religion or God or Jesus or any of that shit. He doesn't care about the Bible or your faith.
No, he was completely like looking around the room to see if he could see any nice titties while everyone else had their eyes closed. You know, like that's who he is. Like,
yeah, yeah.
He's like, oh, they've closed their eyes. Let me see if I can get some, you know, DNA. Like, he's gross.
He only cares about religious people insofar as he needs them to vote for him. So he humors and exploits them. That's his whole mission. So they sang Happy Birthday. They had a group prayer. And then a glad-handing Trump was heard to declare food for everyone. It turns out no one got anything. Yeah, not even a cafecito to go, it says. So this entire crowd, gigantic crowd of, I don't know how gigantic it was, but enough people to fill up this restaurant. And no one ordered anything. You think after he said food for everyone.
He probably expected them to give him free food, like just to have everything laid out in a buffet for him. Because, I mean, when do you think the last time Donald Trump had to actually think about how to coordinate feeding a number of people was? You know, like, when do you think he's ever been in a grocery store or washed a dish in his life?
Remember he got the McDonald's food for the basketball team or whatever it was and then had to pose?
And it wasn't even like under the heat lamps. It was all probably ice cold by the time,
it was a miserable, insulting thing to do. I mean, he's so awkward and he's such a weirdo. I mean, why do you go to a restaurant and meet with people at a restaurant and then not order any food? Not offer to, well, he did. He actually did offer to buy food for everyone, but no one bought anything. So the owners of the restaurant are thinking, like, after everyone leaves, they're like, okay, let's check out the receipts here. This is a huge boon for a business. This is going to be great. How much money do we get? Nothing, sir. No. No one bought anything. What did Trump at least get something? No, didn't buy any food. Not even a teeny tiny Dixie cup of water. Didn't even get that, which is the cheapest thing you get at a restaurant. It didn't do anything like that. So, but just bear
like every, you know, anytime like Obama or Michelle Obama or Vice President Harris or Joe, they go somewhere, they buy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
They support the business. And everyone's like, what do they get? What do they get? And they always get something.
Yeah.
You know, it's because you're disrupting their business in the middle of the day to take pictures and shake hands. And you've got to, and also everybody got to eat. Your Secret Service detail needs to eat.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, but like Trump's a fucking reptile who thinks of no one but himself. It never would have even occurred to him. And probably he's never even thought about whether or not his Secret Service detail eat or drink anything.
Yeah.
Like to him, they're just like androids, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, if they had bought food, he certainly wouldn't have paid for it. He doesn't pay for anything. I think there are still municipalities and cities.
Still waiting to get paid for the fucking
rallies. God damn it. This guy's supposed to.
And this is why, like, I mean, I feel like if Chris Christie would do what Trump did in 2016, which is just tell the basic truth about the other people on the stage, including Trump, like, the guy's a grifter. He says he's rich. He can't prove it.
Yeah, right.
He won't show you his tax returns, will he? Come on, Chris Christie. I mean, just anybody should have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Could have done that. I don't understand why nobody. It's like, yeah, he doesn't pay people. That's why he's rich.
Yeah.
Is he, like, uses people and just tell the fucking truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 2016, we had talked about Marco Rubio before that, and I said I always felt like he wanted to go put on his pajamas with the feet and eat SpaghettiOs and watch Spider-Man cartoons. You know, I mean,
that's what I want to do.
I mean, you totally, but you're not trying to be a U.S. senator.
That's true.
You know
also,
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
or running for president, like, and I don't really think his heart was in it, even. So, like, little Marco, and like, Jeb Bush was about as exciting a candidate as a Wonder Bread flavored Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just not exciting. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just fucking. But none of them will do that to him. Even now, when he's in his second set of massive indictments, they're just like, well, Mike Pence looking like he's passing a goddamn kidney stone every time he talks about it. Like, oh, it pains him.
Yeah.
That, oh, you know, even though he's making the armed services, like, this did make our service person. He's like, but he's still leaving himself like a little wiggle room in case it all go, you know, Trump comes out triumphant again in the end. He's like, but I do think the prosecution is political.
Yeah.
And looks like he's like, seriously, like someone is jamming hot bamboo slivers under his fingernails.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, he called for them to kill your ass.
Mm-hmm. So we have an answer. We'll wrap up with this story. We have an answer to the question of whether Fox News will become more extremist. A Fox News chiron referred to Joe Biden as a wannabe dictator who had his political rival arrested. This is hours after Trump pleaded guilty to 37 federal charges. A chiron is the on-screen text that highlights the latest news. Fox briefly aired the side-by-side visual of Trump's speech from his New Jersey golf club and Biden speaking at the White House earlier in the day. The message was on screen for 27 seconds. PBS, meanwhile, added a cautionary chiron to Trump's New Jersey speech, saying, "Experts warn that inflammatory rhetoric from elected officials or people in power can prompt individual actors to commit acts of violence."
FoxNews.com had to change a headline when the White House posted the new transgender pride flag. FoxNews.com put up a headline that said that, let me see if I can find it. White House flew controversial new trans flag that promotes grooming.
Oh, yeah, flag. Yeah. And you know what? Fox News has this report that's out. Yeah, it's Fox's corporate social responsibility report from 2022. And apparently Fox had a huge Fox logo in their studios that was painted the same colors and with the same pattern as the LGBTQ flag. That there's a copy of that flag that's flying at the White House right now. And the Republicans are crapping their cages over it, saying, oh, this isn't patriotic. It's not a real flag. And by the way, buy our Trump flags at our merch store. But there's another fascinating little bit of insider Fox News information leaking out. So there
you
go.
And the thing that I think we should never, ever, ever lose sight of is that if you went back to the Nixon era and talked about how in the future we're going to have a similar scandal to this, but one of the things that's going to help the lying criminal president is a TV network that consistently takes his side in every—
Whoop, where's David? Mm-hmm. Oh, there you are.
Oh, I'm here.
Okay, there you go. Keep talking.
No, just saying that they would be shocked that there was a whole TV network dedicated to defending the criminal president.
Exactly.
And he had like an entire, like, it was just a foregone conclusion that network would support him no matter what, even if he like started shooting puppies live on the air, you know, like,
yeah.
It would still, you know, that's something that we should never, ever, ever, like, naturalize, normalize, accept as okay, because it's not.
No, it's not. And you know what? Even beyond Fox News, I think some of these podcasts have much more influence than Fox News does now. Yeah. I think the Daily Wire podcast, I've been talking about them for a specific reason. Not to amplify them, but to explain that if you're wondering where this holy war against trans people and the LGBTQ community is coming from, well, here's the primary source. Michael Knowles, it's Matt Walsh, it's Ben Shapiro, it's Candace Owens. They're the centerpiece of all of this. And the Republican Party is merely
and they're
picking,
such just, you know, like alpha specimens of that. I mean, come on. Fucking angry little midget Ben Shapiro.
Can anyone answer the question of what's the deal with that Matt Walsh baby thing? There's a thing that he sells. It's a plush baby crawling with a diaper. And it's got Matt Walsh's head on it. instead of a baby head. What is that? Does anyone know what that is? Can anyone in the comments or on Twitter or anywhere explain to me why Matt Walsh is selling like a baby effigy of himself
and use it as a voodoo doll?
Yeah. I mean, it's like a doll. It is literally like a baby doll that's naked except for a diaper, and it's got Matt Walsh's bearded head on it. I don't understand. And then he also sells, like, I think there are, like, throw pillows with that image on there, too. I did a deep dive.
I threw up in a past life a little. Like, that's so bad that it has sent ripples back through time. That is just so twisted and disgusting that it has created a tear in this space-time continuum that I just can't. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, I can't figure that out. So if anyone can help me on that front. I did a deep dive into the Daily Wire merch store one day.
No matter what that is for, it's sick.
Yeah, it is. Okay, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. See you on the Shadow Dog. Take care. Bye-bye.